I don't have a lit joint, so make some other noise. What is happening, fam? It is your boy, the Solna Sativa, the Ayatollah of Indica, a.k.a. the Bobby Fischer B.H.O., a.k.a. the fucking Holy Ashashin, a.k.a. The President of the United States of America, Donald Blunt, a.k.a. Robert F. Kennedy Jr., a.k.a. fucking Abraham Lincoln, a.k.a. Willie the Cool Penguin, a.k.a. Lord Baltimore. And I'm here today, here, right now, whatever day it is you're listening to it, recording a brand new episode of the number one can of podcasts on the planet. Let's talk about it. Welcome, motherfuckers. I don't know if you can hear that annoying-ass fucking laundry machine right now, but I've been doing some domestic duties, and I wasn't even going to record a podcast. I mentioned it to my buddy Baker that I was thinking about recording a podcast, and before we got off the phone, he said, you need to make sure that you record that podcast. So here I am. I keep myself accountable to the homies, and I know sometimes I can get a little lazy, or if I'm not feeling in the zone or stimulated, then I won't do it. But, you know, we got to do things we don't want to do. And I do want to be here. I got so much shit that I want to fucking talk about, but haven't sat down. It's been busy, man. I have my kids this week. 79 is up. Go listen to it. If you're fucking listening to this, then yeah, you probably already listened to 79. Okay. If you're new here, welcome. Welcome. I don't have a ton of advertisements for shit that whatever the fuck Spotify or whomever puts on there. Not at this point. Not today. Not today. But I do have a couple of people that are partners to this podcast. Those are obviously the Mendo Budsmith. If you are looking for the best fucking weed on the planet, you're looking for something to help you with your workout recovery. If you're looking for something to help you with your erectile dysfunction, if you're looking for something that's going to help you to deadlift 2,000 pounds, Mendo Budsmith, baby. These statements, just so you know, are not evaluated by the FDA, and that's okay. Because here, we'll say whatever we want. What are you going to do? Sue me? I cannot wait for the day that somebody decides to sue me. And I don't have any money. I'll just be like my uncle, Alex Jones. He's got money. I don't have money. It'd be null and void. You tell me to cease and desist. I'm not ceasing or desisting. And you have to take something to record myself away from me. But I'm not that important. And that's okay. That's great. Honestly. That's why we're still having these conversations. Maybe if maybe this is what keeps you in here. The fact that for the last fucking 4 years I've been screaming into the abyss about all this tyrannical bullshit that's been going on in our fucking country. And I've had many people disagree. Had a bunch of people come back into my DMs after yelling at me and calling me all sorts of whatever the fucks. Telling me I'm a fucking idiot. Whatever. Come back through and apologize. Like, damn, dude. How did you see this stuff? It's like, well, you know, you just kind of be alive and pay attention. Read some fucking books. Although I am at a point where I don't know what's real anymore, and that's okay. We're going to have a good time while we do it. Oh, it's Monday. I did some no-gi. I'm a couple weeks into the old 75 hard rooski. Reading the... hold on. I guess before I dive into that, if you're new here, I would appreciate it if you would go share this shit with your friends. I don't care if you post it on your Instagram. Send it to somebody. Send them a link. Talk to them about it. Talk about some of the things that we're talking about. You know, I had a good time last week recording with No Weed. Talking about corruption in corporate cannabis. From Russian oligarchs to BlackRock. The old BlackRock Aruski. They're making their way. I actually probably need to dive in a little deeper because the article that I read from was 2 years ago. I can only imagine what they're doing now. You know, and just to, I'm mostly in this episode, I want to talk about a couple things. First thing, if you're not subscribed to my Patreon, Get your fucking ass over there. Patreon.com/letsfuckingtalkaboutit. Let's talk about it, not let's fucking talk about it. That would be cool. But it's just, let's talk about it. The Lord Baltimore logo flying high up there for y'all to see. You should have no problem finding it. Before you say anything about the cost, understand that what we're doing in there, it's not just, I'm not just releasing an extra Patreon subscriber-only podcast, okay? That's not really what I'm trying to do. There will be some, for sure, but that's not the main focus. The main focus is a place where I can share the shit I'm listening to, the shit that I'm watching, the, you know, the books I'm reading, the fucking PDFs that I'm downloading, where I get some of my shit from, my thought process, daily laws, you know, and most importantly, the big fucking kicker. So I actually am going to start sharing my 75 hard notes, that I've been taking. And, hopefully as this progresses, they will be more, it'll be enjoyable to you, man. You can see what I'm thinking, what my thoughts are, what I'm feeling on days when I'm doing my damn thing. I actually read a bunch of them on my Patreon call. We do a live call 3 weeks out of the month. You know, the live call has been focused on improving personal development, getting better as humans, functioning better. What tools, tactics, strategies that you can use to toughen the fuck up. Because I'm not going to lie, there's a lot of people on this planet that are fucking pussies. You know, I was one of them. I always considered myself somebody to be mentally tough. And until I started really diving into, like, the Live Hard program and really making drastic changes to my life, did I realize that mental toughness is a muscle that atrophies over time. So no matter how mentally tough you think you are, the reality is, deep down, you and I both know that that is not the case. So if you're looking for someone that can help you, some like-minded individuals who are putting together plans of functioning in the fucking world as it keeps changing, join the Let's Talk About It Patreon, man. Support's a good cause. Me. Okay? I got 3 fucking kids. They got fucking bills to pay. And the amount that you would pay in this Patreon, I guarantee you will far undervalued. You will want to pay me more. You'll be like, LB, that is a great deal. You know, 3 hours alone of my time, I charge way more for than what my Patreon costs you. And if you're a part of the Patreon crew, you can get into the group chat. You can get accountability from me every fucking day. I'm going to be reaching out. That's what I'm doing now. Getting in the habits, changing shit up. You know, it is what it is, man. It's a great place to be. And we've had a few meetings, done 3 calls. I started recording them and posting them up into the Patreon so you can see them. You can catch up if you weren't there, a part of it. You didn't get to hear the message. That's okay. It will be posted in there so you can listen. You can get it, and I can tell you it's getting rough, rugged, and raw in there. You know, so many people I see these days just don't have the ability to connect with others, you know, in a real deep, meaningful way. You know, and I'm so grateful that when I got clean, I was able to connect, and I was taught, and I was loved into fucking the program, and taught how to be a better individual. A better human, and live with some real fucking principles. So if that's some shit you're into, you know, I mean, I started really with the intention of other people like me who have gone through the drug war and have found a way to survive. That's what we do as warriors. You know, we find a way to fucking work our way through it. And while there are many, many casualties, many people, many fallen soldiers in the drug war, you know, there are a ton of people that have been able to find recovery in some way, shape, or form. And the reality is that after I decided to start ingesting cannabis and, you know, in my little cocktail of things that I do from time to time, it really shunned me from, like, I got shunned from that community. All my recovery friends, They didn't get it, and that's okay. That's not their path. That's okay. But the reality is that not many people get clean, stay completely abstinent their whole entire life. It just doesn't work that way. And it's unfortunate that many people don't understand that and push people away who genuinely want to continue to live a healthier, better lifestyle than, you know, that of a fucking struggling, suffering addict. And if I was a weaker individual, I may have gone and used. You know, thank God I fucking worked a real program. You know, but the reality is that I see a lot of people that are out there and they're clean. They haven't been fucking around in that way. But the reality is they're miserable. They're sad. They don't have these connections. And so I'm looking to build a place for us to be. You know, and some of the, and not only on the recovery side, but really in just the living life side, man. Being better as humans and pushing ourselves to grow. And there's a lot of things I've learned over the last 13 years of not shooting dope and constantly working to be on a path, a righteous path, if you will. You know, and I look at what I see. I mean, dude, honestly, when I think about recovery, every fucking person in recovery should be fucking shredded. You got the blueprint. You know how to fucking pick apart all your problems, all your fucking character defects, learn about your shortcomings, the acting out on said character defects, and clearing away wreckage of your past so you can live a new life, a new way of life. Let go of all that old shit that wasn't serving you. Bring in some new shit. Start applying it. And it's unfortunate that people don't do that. Or they don't stick and stay long enough to really reap those rewards. And thank God that I did, and I've been able to implement the program that I live every day, regardless of what anybody else says, thinks, or does. You know, I used to have a little rotation of people that I would call every day, all my little recovery buddies, my main people, like my sponsor, my fucking people in my crew. Call them every day. Checking in, just shooting the shit for a few, just keeping myself accountable. And when a lot of those people stopped picking up the phone, that's cool. I just replaced them with new motherfuckers to call, whether they were in recovery or not, because I knew that my life depended on it. I have always considered myself since then to be in the business of saving lives. You know, that's the reality. But this shit's not a game. Shit's not a fuck. I mean, I know I like to have fun and fuck around and joke and have, you know, have a good time. But the reality is that I'm on a motherfucking mission to help as many people get real fucking results as possible. You know, whether that be in a physical sense, a spiritual sense, a fucking mental sense, you name it. That's the shit I'm working on, man. And if you're somebody that doesn't feel like you got a place or doesn't know how to connect with others in that way, man, come to me. I got you. I love you, man. Or woman, whoever. You know, and I'd love to get some straw. I know my female listenership is very, very minimal. We're talking about a 4-to-1 ratio of men to women that listen to this podcast. And that's cool. You know, but I would love to get some strong women around so that if there are women that are struggling, you know, that I can lead them to them. I can push them along into their fold as well. But I, you know, it's crazy, man. Sometimes you just have to keep putting yourself in position, you know, and it does feel like a struggle sometimes. But I could tell you, if you hit me up late at night talking about, you know, I need a fucking ear, I got you. Call me. It's cool. Let's do it. You know, you tell me that you're fucking having a hard time, you can't stop drinking so much. Cool, I'm coming over. We're fucking taking a weight vest hike in the fucking snow right now because that's what I'm on. And you come with me. I'm going to put that pressure on you. I'm the wrong motherfucking one. If you want somebody to just sugarcoat some shit and tell you what you're doing is okay and that it's all good, that's not me. Don't call me. You call me, I'm gonna be on your fucking ass. I'm be on your ass. Like white on rice, baby. That's what it is. To get to some things. There's so many things that I wanted to fucking get after on this conversation, but I was going through my little notes and whatever, right? And then I hopped on my old iPad looking for something, and I forgot. I already set up like 3 or 4 articles from last week's episode when I was doing my corruption and cannabis episode. And I got much more. I got some more. We're mostly going to primarily focus on Florida. Before we get into Florida and what's happening in their shit show, I do want to talk a little bit. And this was from the 4th of January. It's an Axios article. And I know there's been some developments since this, and I haven't really just dived into it, but I saw this article like a week or so ago, and I wanted to dive into it. DEA tells Congress it's considering easing marijuana restrictions. About fucking time. Drug Enforcement Administration told lawmakers it's now conducting its review of whether to soften federal regulation of marijuana under the Controlled Substances Act. Great, because fuck the Controlled Substances Act. Why it matters. Moving marijuana off the Schedule I drugs would mark a significant shift away from federal enforcement of a drug that does... My skin crawls every time it says drug. You know, in a 12-step program, they refer to a drug as any substance that's mood-changing or mind-altering. Which, fair. But there's a shit ton of sugar. It's a fucking drug then, because that shit changes your mood and is mind-altering. I don't agree with that. So I agree. What I like to say, this fucking plant. Anyway, I'm going to say drugs just because that's the article. Back to the article. It would also clear obstacles for the growing cannabis industry, which has struggled to access banking services due to continued federal restrictions. Where are these guys banking at now? Bank of America, I know, takes weed money. Pretty sure Wells Fargo takes weed money. Wells Fargo's been taking fucking all sorts of money for many, many years. We all know that. And while it's, you can't just go in there and be like, this is weed money, I guess. They got a way to do it. You work in the industry, you get a paycheck. All right, your company's doing some fucking banking. Okay? Clearly they're not having that much of an issue. And I'm having that much of an issue. BlackRock's investing. They ain't having that much of an issue. Driving the news in a letter, Representative Earl Blumenauer, Democrat from Oregon last month, first reported by Punchbowl News on Wednesday, DEA official Michael Miller wrote that the agency has the final authority to schedule, reschedule, or deschedule drugs under the Controlled Substances Act. And I know a while ago we had spoken about, they were talking about, I forget which episode it is, you're going to have to go back and look, but we were talking about them potentially rescheduling cannabis to a Schedule 2, which to me was even worse than, well, not even worse, but just as bad as fucking Schedule 1. It's not benefiting us, the people, really, in that way. What they need to do is deschedule the shit entirely. Fucking treat it like tomatoes or any other fucking crop. And you know what? On that regard, let's not fucking treat it like every other fucking crop, because the way they do this monocrop agriculture is fucking bullshit anyway, and is destroying our fucking, the fucking ground. So, let's fucking figure it out. Let's get some of that land back that we let China buy, and figure out what to do with it. Let's take some of Bill Gates' fucking land too, because fuck him. And he's like the biggest farmland owner in America, next to China. China and Bill Gates. The two people I don't want. Yo, can you go buy some land in China? Fuck no. So why the fuck they... look, I just want to treat others the way I want to be treated, but at the same time, I fucking hate hypocrites. Currently, marijuana is a Schedule 1 substance, which are considered to have the highest potential for abuse and safety risk with no currently accepted medical use, along with drugs such as heroin and LSD. Yeah. We fucking know. And, you know, the fact that there's 36 or 7 states with a medical cannabis program, it's not medicinal at all, dude. Fuck out of here. Blumenauer and dozens of other lawmakers in both parties sent the DEA administrator Ann Milgram a letter in October calling to end the harmful federal marijuana prohibition and help our law enforcement officers appropriately prioritize public safety. Yeah. Yeah, make them tell you it smells like guns in your car because the weed shit don't matter anymore. Please. Fucking please. I would help your boy out tremendously. My heart bangs every time I see one of them motherfuckers, one of those gang members on the road, one of those policy enforcers on the road. They love me. They walk up before they even hit the car. They do one of the, oh, they make a face like they ain't never ever smelled some gas like that. You know, and I'm not even smoking in the car, man. Not while I'm driving. Come on. Leave me alone. Leave me alone. Make them tell you it smells like guns in your car. That's the only way they should be pulling you out of there. Illegal guns. Because, honestly, fuck the police. Sorry. Police friends that listen to this, I'm sorry. I love y'all. Y'all. I'm 35, man. Leave me alone. Okay? I'm not like some little teeny bopper. Okay? Doing this a long time. Leave me alone. Fucking leave me alone. The backdrop. President Biden in 22 issued a directive pardoning all prior federal marijuana possession offenses and ordering the Department of Health and Human Services to review expeditiously how marijuana is scheduled under federal law. Yeah, and when he made these pardons to like 12 people, everyone fucking knows. Nobody gives a... First of all, there's like no federal prisoners in there for just simple possession. It's all related to fucking selling it. Okay? You got how many dads you got in there locked up that ain't been able to be with their kids over some weed, man? Get them the fuck out. You know, every fucking human that's in there for some sort of weed-related anything, get them the fuck out, man. Get them out. Okay? I don't care, man. Just get it out. They didn't let anybody out of jail. They didn't do anything. They made it sound, it sounded real nice the way they worded it. I spoke about it on an old episode. You should already be caught up listening. I only have 80 episodes, okay? This is number 80 right here. You should have already listened to every single one of them. Okay, maybe not the first couple, but I mean, damn. In 2020, I definitely did a one in March of 2020, coronavirus and cannabis, talking about the weed heads ain't fucking having these problems. And that shit has come out since. There's been articles talking about cannabis users fucking safe from COVID. Ty, that was right in prime Lord Baltimore's a grandma killer time. I just cannot, I cannot stop thinking about that girl who was a self-proclaimed Satanist talking about don't let these influencers tell you to go outside and kill your grandma, you stupid bitch. Some of you that are listening to this are going to know who I'm talking about, and I hope that you do, because some of these people are fucking idiots. And they had no fucking idea what's going on. They just float around. I don't even know if they have an inner monologue. What do people with no inner monologue do? They just fucking float around. So yeah, the HHS review sent to the DEA last August recommended that marijuana be reclassified as a Schedule 3 substance, which have accepted medical uses and a low to moderate risk of dependence. Blumenauer and his colleagues, however, wrote that rescheduling is an important step in the right direction, but not sufficient to correct the wrongs of federal prohibition or to meaningfully address the federal-state gap on cannabis policy. Agreed. They called for marijuana to be fully removed from enforcement under the Controlled Substances Act. That would be great. Please. There should be no fucking enforcement. None. Zit. Nada. Zilch. I'm not going to go deeper into another article with that. I do want to get into Florida. Florida has always got some craziness going on. You know, and just like Maryland and everywhere else, some of the same key players everywhere we go. So, like, check this out. DeSantis, fucking DeSanctimonious, as the old Trumpski calls him. DeSanctimonious promised to drain the swamp in Florida, but his record on medical marijuana raises questions. We got some questions, Ronnie. Okay? Big Ron, we got some questions. This is a CNN article. As Ron DeSantis seeks to cut into Donald Trump's double-digit lead in the Republican presidential race, the Florida governor has criticized the former president for failing to deliver on one of his signature promises. He didn't clean up the swamp, DeSantis said during a recent debate of Trump's vow to eliminate the hold lobbyists and special interests have on government. He did promise to do that. And did he do it?
Nope.
Said he was going to drain it. He did not drain it. This is true. I will give that to DeSantis. DeSantis, who adopted the drain the swamp pledge for himself in his bid to become Florida's 46th governor, routinely tells voters on the campaign trail that he kept that promise in Florida and will do the same in D.C. if elected president. But a CNN investigation into the very first bill DeSantis signed into law as governor, legalizing smokable medical marijuana in the Sunshine State, raises questions about his own record on catering to special interests and campaign donors. It's a chapter of his political career that went unmentioned in his book. Published earlier this year, and one that isn't part of his campaign stump speech alongside his other legislative victories. It's not, you say. To piece together this story, CNN reviewed campaign finance reports, court records, business filings, and newly obtained video footage of a private political fundraiser hosted by a doctor once at the forefront of the medical marijuana movement. Combined, they show how DeSantis repeatedly intersected with a cast of players in the state's budding cannabis industry to his benefit, and sometimes to theirs. As he was promising Floridians he would clean up Tallahassee if they elected him, DeSantis, is Tallahassee the state capital? Tallahassee? Has anyone ever even been to Tallahassee? As he was promising Floridians he would clean up Tallahassee if they elected him, DeSantis was also courted by marijuana interests. Oh, let me guess. Trulieve? Curaleaf? That's a guess. That's my preemptive guess. Courted by marijuana interests to help bankroll his campaign, including the family of a man who would become one of his top political appointees and a Republican fundraiser who would later go to prison for campaign finance violations. So wait, what you're telling me is that in the local levels of state government, these people take bread on the campaign trail, and when they get into office, they show love right back to those who fucking helped get them elected? No, you don't say. Hey, dude, do you need to be scratching up my hamper over there, baby girl? Okay. Industry lobbyists raised money for him, special interests donated to him, and one marijuana entrepreneur flew him in a private plane. Once enacted, the new law DeSantis signed helped fuel what would become a billion-dollar industry in Florida. DeSantis then if you're not familiar with Florida's laws, they are fucking crazy. You can go check out my man on the gram, Florida Trees News. He's always got some cool shit, hilarious memes, good shit that's happening. His billion-dollar industry in Florida, DeSantis then quietly fought to ensure only a handful of companies could sell marijuana through a regulatory system he once likened to a cartel, but ultimately helped to preserve. Among these that benefited was one of the top medical marijuana producers in the U.S., a Florida company launched amid allegations of the sort of swampy behavior DeSantis would later vow to eradicate. DeSantis' campaign did not respond to a detailed list of questions from CNN. In a statement, spokesperson Brian Griffin, the dog, accused CNN of reporting opposition narratives from the Trump campaign and their allies to smear Ron DeSantis. As he's always said and repeatedly shown, donors have no influence on policy decisions, Griffin said. Really? Okay. No one has done more to deliver on his promises for the conservative movement than Ron DeSantis, and that is why he is the hands-down best choice to lead the Republican Party in 2024 and America as our next president. You can't see, if you're not watching this, you can't see me rolling my eyes. Our foot on the gas pedal for Ron. At first blush, Ron DeSantis seemed an unlikely candidate to usher in a momentous expansion of marijuana. He ran for governor after serving in the U.S. House, where he voted against making the drug more accessible to veterans. During his 2018 campaign, he dismissed recreational marijuana because his high school classmates who smoked pot didn't do good in school and in sports. He counted among his financial, what about Michael Phelps? Hello, the motherfucker smokes weed and he's a fucking more of a champion than Ron DeSantis ever could be, you fucking fuck. He counted among his financial backers the billionaire casino magnate Sheldon Adelson, whose fortune often funded anti-marijuana efforts across the country, including in Florida. Yet within DeSantis' political orbit was a trio of close friends with deep ties to the marijuana industry, led by U.S. Representative Matt Gaetz. Before advancing to Congress, Gaetz, the son of a former president of the state Senate, served in the Florida legislature, where in 2014 he introduced Florida's first foray into medical marijuana, a bill legalizing a non-euphoric strain of the drug for use with patients suffering from cancer and other serious ailments. By the way, totally somewhat related, but not a part of the article, Florida is trying to cap THC in flower at 10% and concentrates at 60%. That fucking cracks me up, because now you're going to have people testing for low numbers. Hilarious. People right now, the testing industry, they're going to be like, hey, man, test this at 9%, dude. Whereas currently, if it's not testing high enough, you know, the testing company will call you and be like, hey, just so you know, maybe you want to send us another sample, because the one that we had only tested at about this, just saying. Goodbye. The bill had support from State Representative Halsey Beshears, the former chief financial officer at a family-owned tree farm that later joined forces with two other nurseries to win one of the handful of coveted licenses created by the 2014 law to produce medical marijuana. That venture would become Trulieve Incorporated, which is today one of the leading medical marijuana producers in the U.S. His brother Thad, this motherfucker's name is Thad, co-founded the company and owns a sizable share of it. Huh, look at that. Shortly after the 2014 law passed, Jason Pirozzolo, a doctor and close friend of Gaetz and the Beshears, launched a medical marijuana consulting company and later co-founded an advocacy group aimed at educating doctors about its use as an alternative to opioids. Because there's fucking medical use for it. In summer of 2018, Pirozzolo hosted a private political fundraiser for DeSantis at his posh lakeside house a few minutes west of Orlando. He showed up in style, touching down in a helicopter alongside Gaetz. Inside his home mingled Beshears and several members of Pirozzolo's advocacy group, the American Medical Marijuana Physicians Association. With DeSantis looking on, Gaetz thanked Pirozzolo for helping him and Beshears. When I wrote Florida's first medical marijuana law, according to video of the fundraiser obtained by CNN, Pirozzolo, meanwhile, told his guests it probably would not be the last time he asked them for money and suggested the solicitations might continue all the way up to a hypothetical 2024 White House bid by DeSantis. I'll be honest with you, he said, we've got to keep our foot on the gas pedal for old Ronnie. Later that month, the doctor would personally fly DeSantis to a campaign event, an early example of DeSantis' preference for private air travel arranged by wealthy donors. Such arrangements have lately come under scrutiny during his presidential campaign. David Haas, an attorney for Pirozzolo, said in an email to CNN that his client never discussed marijuana legislation with Ron DeSantis, and any allegation or inference to any such discussions occurred is categorically false. Around the time of the fundraiser, Beshears, Pirozzolo, and Gaetz traveled to the Bahamas, where they spent time in the company of young women. Tight, dude. The trip made headlines in 21 amid disclosures that federal prosecutors were investigating Gaetz for sex trafficking in an alleged pay-to-play scheme involving medical marijuana. Huh, you don't say. Damn, Matt Gaetz. Oh, I'm going to have to look into that fucking sex scandal. Let's see what's up. Gaetz has consistently denied any wrongdoing, and the investigation was dropped without charges earlier this year. In fall of 2018, Pirozzolo co-hosted another fundraiser in which he was listed as a $50,000 co-chair. Around that time, Gaetz gave DeSantis 75 G's from a federal campaign committee that was full of donations from marijuana interests. Gaetz did not respond to a request to be interviewed for this story. Trulieve contributed $50,000 to the Florida GOP, which was heavily involved in electing DeSantis and paying for his campaign ads. The Beshears brothers donated more than 75 G's to DeSantis' campaign and political committee, including through a half dozen businesses and entities controlled by their family. Sotera, another medical marijuana company operating in the states, contributed $60,000 to DeSantis' committee. Wow. Damn, so we're already at like over 200 G's there. DeSantis' political committee also received $10,000 from Brian Ballard, a Florida lobbyist deeply involved in its cannabis industry. And at the time of donation, Trulieve was paying Ballard's firm $40,000 every 3 months to represent it in Washington, D.C. Before that, Ballard had lobbied for 5 Florida nurseries that sought to grow and sell medical marijuana in the state after the 2014 law passed. He also had a financial interest in 3 different marijuana ventures that received licenses. You can't make this fucking shit up, dude. Holy fuck. God damn. He also, according to their applications to the state, all 3 eventually sold their licenses to out-of-state companies in 8-figure deals, as they normally do. Shit happens every fucking day, man. Every fucking day. Just like 6 companies control all the fucking media you consume, all the fucking main products you consume, and they just fucking break it down with 30 subsidiary brands that they just bought. It's exactly what fucking cannabis is doing, man. That's why when you go, you see all these different selections at the dispensary, but then when you look at the back of the fucking label, it tells you it's the same one as the other 3 bags that you bought with 3 different brand names on them. What are you going to do, man? What are you going to do? Okay, the day after winning the closest governor's race in state history, DeSantis tapped Gates to heads up his transition team. Pirozzolo received a coveted spot on the board governing Orlando's airport. Halsey Bashirs was given a top post as Secretary of the Department of Business and Regulation. His brother Thad was put on the Transition Advisory Committee on Health and Wellness. Ballard, meanwhile, was named chair of DeSantis' inaugural fundraising committee. Co-chair was a lobbyist for Cetera, who touts his extensive work shaping Florida's marijuana laws and regulations on his website. Didn't take long for DeSantis to advance the marijuana industry's top priority. At a news conference 9 days after swearing in, DeSantis stood next to Gates and demanded state lawmakers quickly draft and approve legislation that would make medical pot available to Floridians in smokable form. They were joined by John Morgan, a wealthy plaintiff's attorney nicknamed Pot Daddy, for his medical marijuana advocacy and a major donor to DeSantis' Democratic opponent in the governor's race. Morgan helped bankroll, and it doesn't matter. These companies are going to put bread in both sides of the pot. Helped bankroll a successful 2016 ballot referendum to amend the state constitution and greatly increase patient access to medical marijuana in Florida. He sued Florida the following year after state lawmakers and then Governor Rick Scott moved to prevent doctors from prescribing marijuana in smokable form. Just as he would with other contentious priorities over the next 5 years, DeSantis pursued this one aggressively, publicly threatening lawmakers with an ultimatum and using the bully pulpit to rally support for his cause. The Republican-controlled state legislature, 2 years after prohibiting smoking medical marijuana, reversed course and lifted its ban, delivering DeSantis a win and the first law of his governorship. "Who am I to judge?" DeSantis asked at the time. "I want people to be able to have their suffering relieved." The early victory surprised many in Florida political circles, but apparently not one noteworthy figure who attended Pirozzolo's fundraiser for DeSantis. Joel Greenberg, a then little-known Orlando area tax collector, predicted it according to a video shared by Morgan the day DeSantis signed the bill. "I owe this man an apology," Morgan said, referring to Greenberg, who stood next to him, grinning. In the video shot at the home of a future Trulieve lobbyist, Morgan said Greenberg claimed during the campaign that DeSantis would take steps to end the ban on smokable marijuana. "Today, it was proven that the tax collector is not a liar." Fuck a tax collector, man. Morgan continued in the video, which featured an appearance by Gates. Greenberg would, a short time later, become the subject of a wide-ranging criminal probe that expanded to include his associates, Gates, Pirozzolo, Bashirs, and their trip to the Bahamas. Greenberg began cooperating with prosecutors and implicated Gates and others in various alleged crimes, but prosecutors filed no charges. Interesting. Gates has consistently denied wrongdoing. Greenberg himself was convicted of sex trafficking a minor. Come on, man. Every fucking time. Why are all these motherfuckers pedophiles? Why are they all trafficking children? Greenberg himself was convicted of trafficking a minor, stalking, fraud, and identity theft, and sentenced to 11 years in the feds. In an interview with CNN, Morgan dismissed Greenberg as a blowhard who could have pretended to know more than he did. Then again, Morgan said somebody seemed to have gotten to Ron DeSantis a court regarding an issue that was not previously on his radar. Once an ally of DeSantis when it came to medical marijuana, Morgan told CNN he ultimately came to see him as maybe the most transactional governor we've ever had. That's a quote. Gates is no longer a DeSantis ally either. He's back in Trump in 2024. Some marijuana advocates hope DeSantis would make other changes as well. The law authored by Gates in 2014 and voted for by the Halsey brothers prevented Florida's licenses from going to businesses that hadn't been in operation for at least 30 years. You have to have been operating a nursery for 30 years in order to be able to grow weed. If you haven't been growing weed for 30 years, what does it matter what the fuck else you've been growing? This shit is ridiculous. That was no accident, according to John Thomas Burnett, a longtime friend of the Bashirs brothers and husband of Trulieve CEO Kim Rivers. We've talked about her before. Burnett told an undercover FBI agent posing as a wealthy former drug dealer looking to invest in medical marijuana that he and the Halsey Bashirs had put some little tweaks in the law designed to benefit Trulieve and keep out competitors. Burnett, who did not know the 2016 conversation was being recorded as part of a corruption probe in which he was a target, told agents he and Rivers knew little about the industry when they applied for one of the handful of licenses in the state, other than getting one would be fucking real valuable. That's a quote. We didn't have to know anything more than that, Burnett added, according to a transcript of the conversation obtained by CNN. Burnett, who was charged with extortion and bribery as part of a Tallahassee City Hall corruption scandal, testified during his trial 2 years ago. He said was the recording. He said on the recording about him and Bashir's tweaking the marijuana law was him bragging about something that kind of happened before my time. Oh, how convenient. Trying to take some credit for some shit. Prosecutors nonetheless cited that the episode in a sentencing memorandum submitted to the judge after Burnett was convicted, arguing that the court should not believe Burnett's explanation and noting that both he and Halsey Bashirs had benefited from the marijuana law. That's fucking right. Fuck these dudes. Burnett was sentenced to 3 years in prison through his ties to Trulieve, and the medical marijuana industry routinely came up during the investigation. He was not charged with any crimes related to either. Bashirs was never charged with any criminal wrongdoing. He left the DeSantis administration in 21, citing a health issue. In a brief phone conversation with CNN, Bashirs dismissed questions about his role in the medical marijuana as a long time ago. All of this has been asked and answered, Bashirs said. I just don't have anything to tell you, man. Trulieve did not respond to a request for comment. You're surprised I'm not. Opponents of vertical integration thought they had an ally in DeSantis. At the same press conference where he called on lawmakers to approve smokable marijuana, DeSantis criticized the state's existing regulatory framework as a cartel, essentially, that violated the free market principles he ascribed to. He threatened to pull Florida out of a lawsuit that would effectively dismantle the cartel. But legislation to open Florida's medical marijuana market died that year without public acknowledgement from the governor. Far from dropping Florida's lawsuit, lawyers for DeSantis' office defended vertical integration and convinced the state Supreme Court to preserve it. After they passed the smokable bill, they acted like they got everything they really wanted, said former state senator Jim Brandis, a Republican who authored both the bill to end the ban on smokable marijuana and an unsuccessful bill to end vertical integration. He said he was instructed by Senate leadership to put each issue in a separate bill. Asked about the political donations to DeSantis from the marijuana industry, Brandis told CNN, I can't speak to the money. I don't know his motivation, but it stands to reason that it had an impact. See, it always has a fucking impact, man. This shit is crazy. And this article is still not over. But it's very informative, and I'm glad to be going through it with y'all. CNN asked DeSantis' office why the governor ultimately came to defend the regulatory system he once derided. A spokesman there did not respond to this or any other questions posed by CNN. DeSantis' administration that same year sided with Trulieve in another legal dispute, this time over a state law that initially capped the number of dispensaries a single entity could own at 25. By that spring of his first year in office, DeSantis' State Department of Health reached a settlement with Trulieve that allowed it to nearly double the number of dispensaries it could open in a unique arrangement that didn't appear to apply to marijuana operators in the state. Courtney Coppola, director of the State Office of Medical Marijuana Use at the time, brokered the deal with Trulieve, according to a local press report. Coppola later became a top aide in DeSantis' office, but now is a registered lobbyist for Trulieve. Can't make this shit up, bro. She works for Ballard's firm, which opened a national cannabis practice in 2022. Trulieve already had the most dispensaries in Florida before DeSantis arrived, but its outlook improved considerably after he took office. Within 6 months of DeSantis legalizing smokable medical marijuana, Trulieve, touting record profits, told investigators smokable flower made up half its sales in Florida and was driving patient growth. A year later, the company reported that quarterly revenue had doubled to $136 million. Around that time, Trulieve made a $25,000 contribution to DeSantis' political committee. 4 months after DeSantis helped kill legislation that could have capped the potency of medical marijuana sold in Florida. Trulieve recently reported its revenue had reached $282 million for the three-month period ending June 30th. Dude, fuck Trulieve. Amid Trulieve's good fortune, Thad Bashirs cashed in August of 2020 with Trulieve's stock nearly near what was then an all-time high. He sold 585,000 shares worth nearly $12 million. A year later, the Bashirs family nursery contributed $30,000 towards DeSantis' re-election. CNN reached out to Bashirs for this story. He responded in a text, declining comment. It's old news and nothing new to write or talk about, he said. Bashirs remains a major shareholder in Trulieve. Trulieve now has a new goal for Florida, recreational marijuana. The company has put more than $39 million into a referendum campaign to force full legalization of cannabis in the state. DeSantis on the campaign trail said he's against legalizing marijuana. He's worried it will become too accessible to kids, and he doesn't like the smell. Fuck you, Ronnie. We love the smell. He has even begun to question the merits of the law he once championed. It's very controversial, he said at the campaign stop earlier this year in South Carolina, because obviously there are some people that abuse it. One person claims to have insight into why DeSantis went against the party to support more liberal use of medical marijuana is Lev Parnas, a once well-connected Republican fundraiser who had ties to Rudy Giuliani when Trump was president. Parnas later emerged as a key figure in the Trump impeachment, mainly regarding his work with Giuliani searching for dirt on Joe Biden in Ukraine. He was also sentenced last year to 20 months in federal prison for unrelated campaign finance violations while trying to obtain marijuana licenses in other states and for defrauding investors in one of his companies of more than $2 million. But when DeSantis met him in 2018, Parnas still had close ties to Trump's inner circle. As first reported by Reuters and the local CBS station in Miami earlier this year, Parnas has said he was closer to DeSantis than the governor has publicly acknowledged, and that earlier in their relationship, DeSantis asked for his help in obtaining an endorsement from Trump. In an interview with CNN at his home in Boca Raton, Parnas said he was initially unwilling to help because he perceived DeSantis as being unfriendly to his business prospects. Parnas was looking to invest in medical marijuana after Florida's successful 2016 referendum, which made the drug more accessible. I told him, you're on the other side of the fence on that, and you are against everything I believe and am trying to establish, Parnas said, recounting their first meeting at the Trump International Hotel in D.C. But according to Parnas, when the two ran into each other at the hotel again later that month, DeSantis told Parnas he could be swayed into supporting more liberal marijuana policies if Parnas could deliver an endorsement from old Trumparooski. It opened the door and we talked more about it until he assured me he was going to be pro-cannabis, Parnas told CNN in a series of interviews about his interactions with DeSantis. DeSantis publicly expressed that support for legalized medical marijuana at a June 2018 Drain the Swamp campaign event in Pensacola, in which he was joined by Gates. 12 days later, Parnas donated $50,000 to DeSantis' political committee through a business named Global Energy Partners. Next day, Trump announced he was backing DeSantis for governor. He will be a great governor and has my full endorsement, Trump tweeted. Parnas told CNN it would have been clear to DeSantis that his help was contingent upon being supportive of medical marijuana. I don't recall us having a conversation, exact conversation, like a quid pro quo type of situation, Parnas said, but the whole conversation was a quid pro quo. Facts. CNN was unable to independently verify Parnas' account. DeSantis declined to answer detailed questions about his interactions with Parnas from the time period. The Trump campaign and a spokesperson for Giuliani did not respond to requests for comments. Following Parnas' legal woes, DeSantis returned the $50,000 contribution and downplayed their relationship, describing him as like any other donor. But text messages between Parnas and DeSantis, first reported by Reuters and reviewed by CNN, showed the two communicating about fundraising, with DeSantis at times asking Parnas to nudge Giuliani to post certain messages on Twitter. On election night, he and Parnas embraced in a celebratory hug as preliminary returns showed DeSantis was victorious. Parnas was then a VIP at DeSantis' inauguration. Parnas acknowledged others may have had Trump's ear about endorsing DeSantis. Multiple sources told CNN that Gates was one of them, but in his mind, there was a clear linkage. The reason why DeSantis had become governor of Florida is because of a little plant called cannabis, he said. Man, first of all, that was a long fucking article. Oh my God. Not way longer than I had initially anticipated. You know me, gotta get my water in, gotta get my H2O in. Man, I'm gonna Okay, DEA, we already did that one. Let me see. These. I want to get into some of these other ones, but honestly, right now, I don't think I'm going to do that. I think I'm going to. That took the majority of my time for now on shit. So tune in to part two, episode 81, where I will be diving into some more. Continuing on about old Ron DeSanctimonious and Florida's medical market and the things that are happening down there. Of course, featuring my favorite folks over at Trulieve. If you're looking to get in touch with me, go to LordBaltimore.com. All my links are there. You can support yourself and this show by joining the Patreon. You can get some products from First Form Supplements using my link. If you're looking to make some changes and need some accountability and a plan, a place where you can really start holding yourself accountable too, in regards to making changes on your personal health and fitness journey, and changing that into a lifestyle, you can also get the First Form app. If you use my link off LordBaltimore.com, you will get me as your advisor. And if you would like me as your advisor, you don't necessarily have to go there, but when it asks you, I'll put my email in, LordLawntimore@ProtonMail.com. That is how you will get me as your advisor. And if you do, send me a message immediately on the Instagrams or in the app. Just let me know that you signed up, you got in there, and we'll help you. Okay? Get in there. Like I said, get on the Patreon. Help yourself. Support this podcast. Support yourself. Something very enjoyable. There's going to be three calls a month, man. And the fourth one, the fourth week out of the month, I think we're going to use as like a team PT day. So let's fucking get after it. Baltimore